What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Here's Kevin Saul, athletic director at Wichita State University. He joins us for his monthly appearance. Kevin, hello, welcome.
Man, I love you guys. I could listen to that for days. You guys just ping pong back and forth. It's perfect. I'm great. How are you guys?
We appreciate that, and we're hanging in there well. We appreciate your time as always. So I'm fascinated by college athletics, maybe more than I've ever been, and not necessarily for what's going on the playing field. I find it incredible what's happening off the playing field with expansion and NIL and transfer portal. And we've been watching with great interest as the Pac-12 tries to get back into some kind of stature, and certainly made an attempt to bring in four schools from the American, Memphis, UTSA, Tulane, and South Florida. That was nixed yesterday, those first four schools committing to the American. This stuff is amazing. How do you take it all in?
Well, I think what the objective is just to be a sponge for information and lean on those that know that are involved in those discussions. Right? I mean, it's the best thing that you can do. It's if you react and jump every time there's news. That's all you'll do is just keep jumping around and stressing and worrying over different things. So I have to commend our commissioner, Tim Pernetti. His leadership's been phenomenal here this first 5-6 months. And he's done a really nice job of keeping the dialogue open and transparent and very communicative with ADs, inclusive of those four schools that you referenced. And just walking through it, I guess more in a consultant type role than a convincer type role. You know, at the end of the day, you've had four institutions that were approached by the Pac-12, and indications were that the Pac-12 had a consultant that was working with them to project and speculate media value for a new league or a projected new league. And those numbers weren't necessarily ones that you could quote unquote take to the bank. And so I think every institution has decisions to make, right? So the South Florida might be in a little bit different position because of geographics. And Tulane might be in a little bit different based on their profile. So I think everybody's got to evaluate those things and where they stand and what that looks like. At the end of the day, all those institutions are doing is to try to provide more and better resources for their student athletes, recruitment, retention, development, all those things. So it is a very, very interesting dynamic, and we could talk probably an entire show on how the Pac-12 is doing what they're doing with Mountain West schools, how the Mountain West would respond to that. You know, as I was a student athlete, I was in three different leagues over the course of 4 years, guys. And I tell you that what the Mountain West is doing and the Pac-12 is doing is really just kind of shuffling the decks out in the West Coast. And we're starting to see a conglomeration of teams that we've seen. If you go back and look 12, 15 years ago, it starts to look very much like it looked 12, 15 years ago. And there's a lot of money changing hands to make it happen.
Yeah, that is interesting and a little strange. And I was just going to ask, you know, generally speaking, you don't have to address the four AAC C schools in particular, but when a coach gives a commitment and then, you know, he'll leave, a player can commit to a school and then recommit and decommit. Are we naive to believe that a school saying or that it committing to a conference is more true than if any other party says it is, or is that real?
Jeff, I think contracts by their very nature have outs, right? And so the three entities that you just mentioned, whether it's a league, whether it's a head coach, or whether it's a student athlete, two out of the three of those have financial ramifications for breaking contracts. And so there are realities that come with realignment, right? Tens of millions of dollars in exit fees and or some news outlets call them poaching fees. But you see this changing of hands of dollars where the Pac-12 was sitting on substantial dollars based on the departures of schools out of their league and into the Big Ten. And then those dollars shift to the league that the Pac-12 is using to backfill their membership. And so there's financial ramifications for all of those things. Coaches have buyouts and all those things. What you haven't seen is those financial ramifications for student athletes. I do think that, you know, in the coming months and years, we might see what was the financial aid offer, you know, room, board, books, tuition fees, cost of attendance, also educational funds. I do think there's going to be some transparency where you'll see NIL figures in those offers from schools to student athletes. And when that occurs, I think you'll probably see multi-year agreements that might have some buyouts and some financial implications to them.
Wow. Kevin Saul, our guest, athletic director at Wichita State University. So let's talk about men's basketball, because that's kind of the, even though, listen, we understand all of the programs matter and we get it, but men's basketball is Wichita State's version of football at most other schools. As I've often said and believe fully, everybody's trying to win, and not everybody can. There's a winner and a loser in every game played, unless you're playing soccer or something like that. How difficult is it to get to that point where Wichita State is once again a dynamic men's basketball program? What's it take? How do you facilitate that as an athletic director? What can you do to help Paul Mills get to that point?
Yeah, I really appreciate you asking that question, Bob, because it's what I spend 20 hours a day thinking about. And at the end of the day, in its simplest form, I think you've got to hire really, really good people that are competent. They're great culture people that can lead programs and young people. These are leaders of young men and women, where those men and women want to be a part of what's going on, and they're willing to sacrifice to be a part of it. So it starts with really, really good people. And then we can go into every element of support for a program, whether that's, you know, scholarships or travel, gear, nutrition. All of those things are critically important. Our student athlete experience is critically important. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is having leadership in your programs and an administration that is committed to first-class service to student athletes and coaches and is committed to removing obstacles. That's ultimately what this is about, is remove obstacles to give our coaches and student athletes pathways for growth and development. And the success that we all yearn for doesn't happen overnight. And if it does happen overnight, you're probably going to read about it on the ticker a couple years later, because there's no magic potion to this thing. It takes time. It takes commitment. It takes collective commitment on the part of not only an administration and staff, but a community as well, in the form of season tickets, because we all understand that championships need to be aligned with championship-level resources and expectations. So there's so many elements to it, Bob, but at the end of the day, it comes down to having high-quality people in your program that understand the direction, right? Direction determines destination. So first, you got to be pointed in the right direction. And then at the end of the day, you've got to travel the pathway and the journey and remove obstacles and understand, Paul says it all the time, elevators don't get to the top right away. There are levels to this thing, and we'll continue to progress and get better every day.
So, you know, last year men's basketball played a game against KU that raised NIL funds. We've seen Oklahoma State put a QR code on the back of their helmet. We've seen Tennessee add a NIL fee to ticket prices. How do you, as an athletic program, go about exploring creative ways to increase your NIL profile? And what have those conversations been like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that, too. So as you guys know, in the summer of 22, we were at zero NIL dollars. We didn't raise our first NIL dollars until January 6th of 23. Last year, the collective distributed combined all sports right around 400,000. This year, we'll be a little north of a million. And so the growth has been great, and it comes in a lot of different pathways, Jeff. It's from the monthly memberships, right, the drive for 5,000. That has really picked up some steam here recently to targeting individual gifts and donations, and we've had some success there as well. I think people have had to learn, our head coaches and me, to have trust in what we're doing and then learn about NIL, which is really important as well. But I think, again, there are so many different pathways. There's some creative things going on, too. I mean, we are exploring some roundup campaigns where, you guys know, when you go to the grocery store, you can round up for the Red Cross, or you can we're looking at opportunities to be able to do that. We have a program that's called Shipping with the Shocks, where you've got a company that we've got a business in Wichita that has an interest in exploring a different relationship in terms of shipping for their company or their business, their goods. There is a company out there that has great distribution all over the country, working with many different schools, where they will actually take a portion of their net profits and donate it to the local school and their collective. So there's a lot of creative things that are going on, and we're exploring every single one of them, because at the end of the day, it's not fair to put the responsibility on the backs of any one of those constituents. But by really maximizing all of those multiple pathways, I think we can get to a spot where we'll be very competitive in both recruitment and retention.
Final moments here with Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. I was in print journalism for more than four decades. Certainly, Wichita State athletics was a high priority for us. Now, in this age where, listen, Taylor Eldridge does everything humanly possible for the Wichita Eagle, but it's really hard to get to everything. Mm-hmm. When you have sports like women's tennis and volleyball and some of those things that maybe don't get the kind of widespread coverage they used to, how do you keep that on the forefront? I know you have your own social media people and people in your department who are putting news out there, but is that an issue at all?
I think it always has been, Bob. You with all 16 of our sports, you know, we need to do a very good job internally of telling our story. And whether that's our coaches, our student athletes, competitive results, or pregame previews and all of those things, it's number one, telling the story, and then it's the distribution. And as you know, Bob, the distribution for a long time has been, you know, your media listserv. And so you're adding names to that, whether it's local media, regional media, national media. We want to try to distribute this thing as best as we can. And then you've got your social media strategy, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all of those things to try and get your story in front of people and do it in an efficient way, right? Because if you work to try to maximize all of those things, you're probably going to exceed the allocated resources you have to be able to do that. So marketing, promotions, advertisement, all of those things, we try to find a really good balance to do that. And I am pleased with the coverage of all of our sports. I think from a marketing and promotion standpoint, both internally and externally, we've made it a real priority. We're seeing attendances grow over the last year or two, which is certainly helpful. And And again, success has to come with that as well, Bob. So as we continue to grow our programs, I just encourage Shocker Nation to give us a call. I think they're going to be very proud and pleased of where we're headed in both of our basketball programs. They've done a phenomenal job recruiting. We've got competitive schedules that we believe on both sides will position us, if we play well, to be an at-large consideration at the end of the year. And so this is a great opportunity for folks to get involved. Go on to GoShockers.com or call our ticket office at 316-978-FANS and come be a part of it, because we've got some special things going here.
All right. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you next month, okay?
All right. Take care, guys. I really appreciate it, and go Shockers.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.